Okay, today we decided that we would discuss a little, take a little break from Hilchos Shabbos and discuss in Yonah Diyoma, try to some thoughts and some reflections to help us get ready for the Yom HaDin, Abba Aleinu Latova, for Rosh Hashanah that's coming very, very soon. So truth be told, yesterday I had this chus to go on a teal with Shana Aleph. And I had this chus, the main chus that I had during that time was to listen to an amazing shir from Rav Avraham Shor. Shlita. Preparing for Yom Nerayim, preparing for Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to tell you the whole shir over. I heard it on TorahAnytime.com. If you want to hear it, I highly recommend it. But I couldn't pass up on sharing at least some of the highlights with you now before we get to what I wanted to talk about, just because you'll see why in a second. And basically the yisod that he shared, and I think it's a very, very fantastic yisod, is like this. He wanted to know like this. How come it was, we know that in the previous generations, people were very, very scared when Rosh Hashanah came. It's brought down that in Rabbi Saul Salanta, I think he even writes, that when they used to say Rosh Chodesh El, when they would announce Rosh Chodesh El in Shul, even the fish in the lakes would start to shudder. They would shake. The fish. And there was a sense of Ella that was felt, a sense of real seriousness, of real focus that was felt in the air, on people's faces, a sense, the Yom HaDin is coming, I have to prepare, what's going on over here? What am I doing to get ready? Real Chesbon HaNefesh, real Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, real intense preparation for Yom HaDin. And in our generation, I'm not here to throw the book at people in Torah Traga, or myself, but our whole generation, that concept almost doesn't exist. We're relaxed. We're getting sleep. Okay, a little less sleep with slichos, it's true. A little less sleep. Maybe we're a little bit off balance, off kilter, because we're having slichos, but what happened? What's pshat? How come that is? That was the question he wanted to know. He suggests a very interesting thesis, which I think is very, very, very spot on, and I think definitely worth pondering before we come to Rosh Hashanah. He said he thinks that the reason is because we are under the influence of Western society. What does that mean? So Western society, whether it tells us this openly, overtly, or covertly, what it tells us basically is we're not really responsible for our actions. It's not our fault. He gave a mashal. I don't know if I should say this mashal in a shir setting. He didn't give this mashal, but I remember when there was a trial. One of the famous celebrities was on trial. When I was back in YU back in the day, and it was clear that he was guilty. Maybe his initials might be OJS, might be. And it was so clear that he was guilty. I mean, the blood was. You know, the DNA testing was like, mom, it was, you know.
12 don't fit, don't quit.
It was not so clear. I remember vividly yesterday, you know, the trial and all the heat of the trial. I remember the news, I don't remember newspapers so much, or like news. I remember seeing opening the newspaper the next day and seeing on the front of the newspaper there were two reactions. There was one like, you know, group of black students that, you know, reacted like with, you know, just so overjoyed by the psak din that came about, that he was off the hook, whatever. And on the other side of the same front page of the paper, there was a bunch of people that, like, you know, seemed, you know, that were like shell shocked, like, you know, the shock and the surprise. How could this possibly be? You know, how could it be? How could he get off the hook for something he was so obviously responsible for? In the world that we live in, so person kills somebody. And they go to court, and what happens? They bring psychologists and psychiatrists who prove and show that the person was insane for what he did. And instead of, you know, locking them up or whatever, so they'll give them, like, you know, detention, you know, to clean streets for a couple of weeks, and then they're back on the street because it's not their fault. And he suggested that one of the reasons why we don't feel a sense of din is because in order for there to be din, there has to be a sense of achrayus. Achrayus is responsibility. I have to feel a sense I'm responsible for my actions. If Western society is saying to you, don't worry, you're not responsible for your actions, So then there's no din. How can I have a din? What, it doesn't even matter what happened. Even if I go to court, I'll be fine. I went to court 2 days ago. True story. I went to court 2 days ago. My mamash, when I heard the shiur yesterday, mamash struck a chord with me. Why did I go to court? Because I was in a car accident last year. Some of the guys in the shiur, my shiur probably remember. I was driving to shiva one day from the chlala, dropped off my wife, and I was coming down, and there was a street cleaner on the side of the street, and he was cleaning the street. And I was just driving, there's plenty, right by the bus stop, right by the Shraga side of the Mechala Shraga bus stop, just to give you a sense of where he was standing, on the side of the road. And I'm just driving, mind my business, I drive right by him, all of a sudden I drive a little bit, and I hear a boom! And I feel a boom. And what obviously happened to me was that he just didn't see me, and he just turned his car into me, without realizing I was in his blind spot or whatever, and he just was trying to turn left to go clean the streets again, right here, at the traffic circle. I tried getting it on camera, the Shraga cameras didn't reach and whatever. Make a long story short, I walked into court, I was not nervous. First of all, I didn't do anything wrong. But even if I would be caught guilty, what would happen? Like, what would happen? So my insurance premium would go up a little bit? Like, there was no sense of like... There was no sense of like, you know, what's going to be because of this. There was no sense of achrayus. I felt like I was covered. It was in the bag. Like, I'll be okay. And because I felt that way, there was no sense of, I was mamish not worried. I laughed. As I walked out of there, I laughed. They cross-examined me. The guy, the other guy from the other lawyer turns to me and says, maybe you wanted to stop at the bus stop to drop off your wife? I'm like, why? I just dropped her off 2 minutes ago at school down the road. I want to drop off at the bus stop. Again, she wasn't even in the car. Like, it was a random, I was like, what? There's no sense of achrayas. There's no sense of din. He explained so beautifully, learn Bava Kama, Rabosai. We say in Davin morning, Mosar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin kiyakol avil. We're different than animal. In what way is man different than animal? So he said from Bava Kama, I'm not trying to test you, the answer is, the difference is one word, achrayas. If an animal damages, who's responsible? The owner, the animal, not responsible for himself. He's not a bal achrayas. But if a person damages, the Gemara says in Bava Kama somewhere, you'll get to it. I think it's in the eighth parak. Adam shmiras gufo alav. Maybe you had it already. Adam shmiras gufo alav. We had it on Daf Beis also. Daf Gimel. Adam shmiras gufo alav. A person is not responsible for himself. We're bal achrayas. He said a gevaldik remez. He said the remez is if you spell out the word Adam, Aleph, Dalid and Mem, if you spell out those letters, the gematria of those words is Achrayas. Pretty amazing. Adam equals Achrayas. That's who we are. We are meant to be Baalei Achrayas. That's who we're supposed to remez. Don't worry, it's a remez. We're supposed to be Baalei Achrayas. If we're not, then we're more like a behemoth. So he suggested so beautifully, why is it that we're not, why is there no sense of like concern so much? Because the society around us said, you're not responsible for your actions. Don't worry, you'll bring a psychologist with you and you'll be fine. Bring a psychiatrist and he'll show you that you were under the influence of some other spirit and you're fine, you're off the hook. Abosai. That's the influence of the culture around us. We're all influenced by it. And we all think, we'll be okay. We'll get off. We'll be okay. We don't always walk around with a sense of achrayas like we should. He said an amazing thing. This is the last part of that. I'm going to quote from Avraham Ashur. I don't want somebody else, Mert Hashem. He said a gevaldik pshat. El is Rashi Tevos Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. What does that mean? So he quoted from Rashi and Shir Hashirim on that pasuk. Rashi says Ani Ledodi Velo Atem Lo. It's talking about rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, and it says you, the nations of the world, you're not to my Hashem. You're not to my beloved. Velo Tivnu Imano. I don't want your help to build the Beis Hamikdash. I'm not interested in your support. I'm not interested in your opinion. I'm not interested in your culture. I don't need you to tell me how to live my life. Now, Bosai, one Chesbon HaNefesh, which is Kedai to have for Rosh Hashanah, and I'm giving you only the Rosh HaPrakim of what he said. One point of Chesbon HaNefesh is this point. That we're mamish, really, really, like it or not, under the influence of the society around us. Strongly under the influence. And particularly in this area of feeling a sense of responsibility, owning up, ownership to our actions, feeling a sense of, I'm responsible. If there's no responsibility, there's no din. If a person always has I heard last night at the Tish for Prislichos, the cops came because they were singing too loud. But the cops didn't realize that Rabbi Fuchs' wife is a cop. So all he has to do is pull out his cop car. What's going to happen to him, you know? If you're a cop and you're caught speeding, what happens to you? You show them your car that has like that star and the sheriff's star, and you're fine. Like, there's no din for me. I'm responsible for that. I'm not responsible. I'm a cop. So we all have a certain sense of that feeling of, yeah, we're okay. We're going to be okay. It's a very, very, I think a very, very important yisod to keep in mind. Achrayas is an Adam. Adam is a Baal Achrayas. And we have to realize that we shouldn't be under the influence of the outside world, which pushes strongly on us, and we're not responsible for our actions. Point number one. And a totally unrelated point, or maybe it's related. I'd like to share with you a vart that I heard many, many years ago from Rav Matisyahu Solomon Shlita. Who's he?
Shliach
of Lakewood. I heard a shir he once gave in Farakwa many years ago, and I'd like to share with you a very, very beautiful point that he gave in the shir. And the question that he began with is the following question. What's the most important day of the year? What's the most weighty day of the year when everything is decided? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'll give you both. I asked for one day, but you're right. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both very, very weighty. You would expect, we would expect that we should be davening almost entirely on that day for our own needs. We should daven extra for our needs for parnasa, extra for our needs for refuah, extra for our needs for everything. After all, everything is riding on that day. And yet you open the machzor, and what do you find?
Nothing.
Almost nothing about your own personal needs. Not even a regular atachoyim al das. Not even a regular refayna Hashem v'nei rafay. That's startling. That's a startling, jarring concept. What happened to like me? How about my needs? How about the things that are important to me? How about all the things that are essential for me for my year? So you get the following very, very powerful mashal, I believe. And it's a mashal that has changed my davening for the last many years, and I hope it'll help you enhance your davening as well. He said, mashal ma'adav adome, to the following scenario. There's an auction that goes up. What's the auction? The king, we have a resident Brit in the room. Tomer, the queen, we'll say the queen. The queen's palace is outdated, and it's going out of, it's getting dilapidated, and getting old and raggedy, not befitting for the queen. And therefore, there's a new auction. We have to build the queen a new palace. And the auction goes out, and everyone's trying to bid. All the big kablanim, all the big builders are trying to bid on the opportunity to build the new palace for the queen. After all, what an opportunity it's going to be. And they're bidding, and they're going after it, and they're bidding, and they're bidding, and they're bidding, and they're bidding. And finally, one person wins the bidding contest, and he is the one who is privileged to build and to orchestrate the building of the new palace for the queen. The next day, he goes into the equivalent of Home Depot or Lowe's in London. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. He goes into London, to the Home Depot of London, and he starts filling up his wagons. Loads them up. With what? The nicest stuff in the entire store. The fanciest marble. The fanciest material. The fanciest... the best of the best of us. He loads up the wagons. He loads up the trucks. He goes to the checkout. He cuts all the lines. You know why? Because he's building a palace for the king. And they say, okay, that's going to be around 10 million pounds. No problem. See, okay. Charge it on the king. You know why? I'm building a palace for the king. Everything I'm doing is for the purpose now of building a palace for the king. And therefore, whatever materials he needs, he'll be able to have. And whatever lines he needs to cut, cut them lines. It doesn't make a difference. Because after all, whatever he's doing is now focused, is now guided on that assumption that whatever he's doing is to build a palace for the king. Said about the Seder of Solomon. On Rosh Hashanah we daven, and we focus our attention that what we're doing in this world is to build a palace for the king. We're here in this world. Hashem put us in this world to honor His presence, to build a palace for the king. That's what we're doing here. And that's what we say in davening over and over and over again. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech L'olam Ve'ed, Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Baruch atah Hashem Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron, Melech, Melech, Malchios, Malchios. V'ne'emar v'haya Hashem Melech al kol ha'aretz. That's what we're doing here in this world. That's what we're here to do. We're here to build a palace for the king. You know what we do on Rosh Hashanah? We get that clearly into our psyche, into our kishkas. We put it into our bones. We repeat it again and again. We internalize that fact that we're here in this world to build a palace for the king. And then what happens? The day of Rosh Hashanah after is over. Then we start asking for things. Hashem, you know, I need knowledge. Atachoni l'adam das. But it's a whole different asking for knowledge. You know why? It's asking for knowledge with the backdrop, with the understanding, with the appreciation that I'm not just asking for das so I could just be the smartest kid in the Shana Bet Shir in Torah Traga. I'm not asking for das so that I could just, you know, have knowledge so I could know the best I could do my best in my physics course when I go back to college afterwards. I want knowledge, you know why? Because I want to build a palace for the king. I want das so that I can bring you honor, Hashem. I need parnasa. You know why? What's the purpose of going for a living? We're all going to go out one day to get jobs and make a parnasa. Some of us already are making a parnasa. Some of us have jobs already. Some of us have been having jobs since we were little kids. Some people have, when it snows in Elizabeth, some people have people working for them, shoveling houses for them, and they're making money even right now while they're in Israel for the year. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing out a mush. Why am I getting a job? Why do I want parnasa? So I could just have a lot of money and be the richest guy in town and drive around the latest Lexus, and everyone can say, "Woo! He has the latest Lexus. His car drives for him. Woo!" That's one reason, but that's not obviously the reason. The reason we want to have a parnasa is because we're building a palace for the king. Shakobar lechvodo. I can't drive around the dilapidated car that's going to break on me. It won't bring honor to the king if I have a yucky old car. I don't need a fancy car either. Because I understand that what we're doing is for the king. If you look at the last Perek of Avos, thank you Yoni for your Perek of Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Yid Gimel, or Brice Yid Gimel, it says, Kol Mashabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the end of the last closing off sentence of Perek of Avos, Kol Mashabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam, whatever Hashem created in this world, Lo Bura'o El Lechvodo, whatever he created for his honor. That's what we get clear on Rosh Hashanah. We're here to honor Hashem. We're here to build Hashem a palace. Shenemar kol anikra v'shmi v'lechvodi b'rasiv yitzartiv af asisiv omer Hashem imloch le'olam v'ayin. So, if you put the first 2 points together, I'm going to mention one other point, and then we'll pause. Put the first 2 points together, what do we have? We have achrayis. We're an Adam. An Adam is not like a behemah. An Adam is a bal achrayis. What's our responsibility? What are we doing here? What's our purpose? What's our mission? So we all have individual missions, that's true. We're all judged individually. But we also all have one collective mission, which is to bring honor to Hashem. Someone called me yesterday, asked me for a bracha. A little bit of a strange conversation. For whatever reason, he asked me for a bracha. I said, what do you want a bracha for? He said, I want a bracha that my children should be tzaddikim, and I should be zochet to mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. That's what he wanted a bracha for. He said, you can take my simple bracha, simple man's bracha, your children should be tzaddikim gemurim, Mitzvah Hashem, and you should be zochet mekadesh Hashem Shemayim always, constantly, day in, day out. He's a person that understood this last mission in Perkei Avos. That's what he wants. What does he want? What does he want in his life? He wants to be mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. He wants to be a conduit. He wants to be a pipe that will spread Hashem's honor in the world. So one last point I want to share with you. There's a lot more to talk about, but we only have a couple more minutes left. One other reason maybe they don't get so concerned that Rosh Hashanah is coming is the following reason. Somehow we have the feeling, also maybe also because of the society we live in, maybe because of just inertia, we have a feeling that whatever was is going to be. Whatever was, is, and will be. That's what we think. We think, you know, I had it last year, I'll have it this year. We think, you know, if I had my health last year, so I'll have it this year too. And if my parents had parnasa last year, Emir Tzah Hashem, I'll have it this year too. And Emir Tzah Hashem, that's the case. But we should know, listen very carefully please, you should know, that that's not necessarily to be assumed. Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, when he describes Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is a reset button. There's a cycle. There's a cycle of a day, a cycle of a week, a cycle of a month, and a cycle of a year. And every year, I'm not sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, whatever happened was, that was Tavshin Ayin Ches. And whatever is to happen is Tavshin Ayin Ches. And that's a whole new world. Hashem recreates the world. Hayom Haras Olam. We say on Rosh Hashanah, the world is created. The world is recreated anew every single year. And a person should never think, because I had it, I'm going to have it. Whatever it is. Whether it is Parnassah, whether it is good health, whether it is Das, whether it is whatever. I can tell you a million examples of this in life. A million examples. You guys remember Lavi Greenspan? Mm-hmm. Shlita? I just spoke about him down the road. I remember when he was able to see. I remember him. I remember looking eye to eye with him. He was totally fine. Until he got, unfortunately, meningitis and unfortunately lost his sight. Baruch Hashem, that doesn't happen to most people. Al Tiftach Pela Satan shouldn't happen to anybody else. But he was, quote unquote, a regular person. That a regular existence, so to speak. Everything was totally fine and normal. And then one day, all of a sudden, he got sick, unfortunately, and boom. And how many people in the world do we know that at one time in life were on top of the world financially, and then something happened, something went sour, maybe it was a market crash, maybe it was something else, a bad deal, and then unfortunately, instantaneously, went from riches to rags. That happens. I know somebody very well. When I was growing up, he would ask me, this, who's like the most popular, most, you know, who has it all in town? I would tell you this, we'll call him Yanko. It's not his name. We'll call him Yanko. And unfortunately, at one point in his life, not long after that, things took a turn for the worse, and there was a terrible spiral. And if you would ask me later, at a later point in his life, who's the biggest Nebuch that you know? I would say that person. How does that make sense? How does that go? How does that happen? The answer is, there's no chazakos. I'll close with one chazal, last chazal. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kol shana asher rasha b'tchilasa, any year which is poor at the beginning, misasheres b'sofa, is rich at the end. What does that mean? Rashi says it means, any year which the Jews, where we make ourselves like poor people, at the beginning of the year will end off good for us. How do you make yourself poor? The answer is, you don't take all your money in your bank account and throw it in the garbage. That's how you become poor. My son, actually, I have a 7-year-old son, Atano, and he likes to give tzedakah. So he was in the middle of like a deal with me, a mitzah. He said, okay, I gave him 20 shek. The next minute, I see him climbing up on the chair to the tzedakah box and puts the 20 shek in the tzedakah box. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just giving you the tzedakah. I'm like, why? Because I want it. I'm like, okay, I mean, you could. But the way to become poor is not to give your money to stuff all of it. So you're not even allowed to, the Gemara says. The way to become poor is just to think about this point. That there are no chazakas. If we think about it, we really are poor. Aye, we have money in our bank accounts, Baruch Hashem, it's true. But that's only because Hashem willed it for 365 days of Tavshinayin Ches and Rit Hashem. And hopefully we'll will it again for Tavshinayin Tes. But if He doesn't will it, it won't be. No one has a chazakah on life. No one has a chazakah on health. No one has a chazakah on money. You can't. There's no such thing as a person that's rich for generations, 10 generations. You don't find it. Maybe the Holocaust came and just wiped people's money away. My father-in-law's family was a very wealthy family before the Holocaust. One of the wealthiest people in Hungary. His grandfather was a tremendous tzaddik. He used to have a house that had 30 rooms in it. He supported a kollel in the house. He let them sleep in the house. He gave them rooms and food and board. And all of a sudden, one day the Nazis marched into Germany in the end of the early 1940s, and he went from one day from being one of the wealthiest people to nothing, zero. I don't know how many generations they're wealthy. That's how it is. There are no chazakos. And therefore, you know how a person can just come to the power of mindset with Hashanah? I don't deserve anything. I don't have anything. Whatever I have is because Hashem wills me to have it. I'm supposed to do some reflections. What do we say? 3 points. One, number one, man is bala chrayas, as opposed to animal. Achrayas equals din. If you have a sense of achrayas, you could have din. If we're not responsible for our actions, then there's no din. That's number one. Number two, we said the mashal of Matisela Solomon, which was that we're here in this world to build a palace for the king. We're responsible here. We have a mission, a collective mission, to build a palace for Hashem. And then afterwards, we ask for our needs with that backdrop of knowing what it's for. And the final point is that we should understand that we have no chazakos. We come in mamish kedalim uchirashim tafakim delasecha. And when we come in like that, we'll be zochet to rachamei Hashem, merit Hashem, we'll be zochet to ksivah chasimah tova. Wonderful year. All the things.